What we were talking about in the room today, the there's an NPR interview with the cast from Silicon Valley, and they're talking about how they do research with people. And they actually go to Silicon Valley to do research about developers and what they talk about and when they how they act. And
did you see my post about where did I put that? Was that in Random? Where this guy sort of, yeah, it was Random. He went through and said, which, what are the characters on Silicon Valley? How do they align with real life characters?
Okay.
And they, obviously you didn't look at that. Did you look
at
that?
I didn't see that one, no.
I didn't see it.
So they took these, so Gavin Belson, he's the head of
Google.
Right? So who do you think he aligns with, according to this article, which is from, it's Rex Sorgatz from Backchannel. And he says a guy like Gavin Belson, he aligns with...
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't see that. He aligns with...
Today we'll be talking about centrifugal force.
No, we're not. He aligns with 35% Mark Benioff.
Who's Mark Benioff?
Benioff is the Salesforce guy, right?
Okay.
20% Larry Ellison, 18% Larry Page, 19% Sergey Brin, and 8% Steve Jobs. So he's an amalgamation of all these guys, right? That's what this person came to the conclusion of. So now it's your job, based on that alone, it's your job to say, Peter Gregory, who was the sort of ultra geeky, quiet, but scary as shit guy in the first season of Silicon Valley, who was the original VC guy for whatever that product was called. Who does Peter Gregory align with?
Well, I have heard that he aligns with, not that I dabble in VC, the VC community at all. Surprise, surprise. But I heard that he aligns with the guy that is in conflict with the Gawker people.
Yeah, yeah, Peter Thiel.
Peter Thiel, yes. Yeah.
So that is effectively 100% minus 2 pi squared, according to it, which is a perfect way of describing this guy. It's a back channel article. It's very good. And that's how he describes this guy. And then of the other bits, Paul Allen and Paul Graham come to mind for this person. So it's just a very interesting article. So
my wife listens to NPR all day long at home. And she listens to Terry Gross. It's her favorite show. So she said one day she was listening to it, and it was Silicon Valley, and I get a random text message, and I'm here at work. She goes, "Do you use spaces or tabs?" And I'm
that's very
what
recent.
The hell are you talking about? It's like, do you use spaces or tabs? And I had to look it up. And I guess on this interview on NPR, the guys on Silicon Valley did research, and they actually talked to people at Apple about this, and they started huge debates about do you use spaces or tabs, and people that will actually go through code and remove spaces and add tabs instead. And they said, well, when it all gets compiled, it's the same amount of space. It doesn't really matter.
Right, right.
But people are hardcore, I'm a tab guy or I'm a space guy.
My wife asked me about that, and I said, well,
did she hear the same interview?
Well, no, she saw the show and she asked.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess it was on the show too.
It was quite recent. It was the last couple of episodes. And I said, well, I'm a spaces guy.
Size is relative.
See, I'm a tab guy too.
I mean, right? You know.
But, well, she asked, you know, well, can't you just set the tab to what you want? I go,
really?
Yes, you can, but, you know, figuring out, depending on the application you're in, figuring out how to set the tab to that versus bop, 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 bop on the space bar
is,
you know, trivial. And plus, you can, you know, change your tab level. Like, yes, maybe you, for the first block, you want it tabbed nicely, and then the second block, you don't want it tabbed too much because, after all, you don't want your code to have to wrap. So,
you know,
you want versatility there.
Exactly.
So.
Right. Consistent number of characters per line.
Mm.
Yeah. Maximum characters per line. Yeah.
They would say it's like the amount, you're saving yourself keystrokes by hitting the tab, though.
Well, I acknowledge that, but to figure out how to set the tab block in a particular program might take a while.
Well, and then you have like tools that will go and do checks against your code to make sure you're compliant with whatever formatting rules we
have.
Make
sure your blocks line up and
exactly. So
yeah, I guess if I did that kind of development, I might have more of an opinion on it. I don't really.
Well,
being more in the ops camp, I don't care.
Well, I think it's great, and the NPR article I have not seen, and I will look it up. But I thought this guy's approach of looking at like A versus B, person A,
yep.
and how they align to real world person was a very fun article. So I'll post that in our post as we put this up, so you can click through and see it and the NPR article, and that I think launches us. We are the Worldwide IT Guys.
Yeah.
This is episode 40.
Wow.
I'm Steve.
I'm Dion.
John.
Dan.
We've now hit middle age.
And we are middle aged, and we are the Worldwide IT Guys, and thank you for any of you that are still with us.
Condolences.
Thanks for indulging.
So I don't know how much you heard or didn't hear of that whole discussion, but Silicon Valley, great show. I know you're a big fan.
I've seen many highlights, have not just jumped into every episode.
Oh, you haven't seen
it. Basically, you're too cheap to get HBO. Is that it?
I have the first season on my computer that I could watch.
Illegally.
In some way, or I don't know what that means, but...
I didn't say how I got it. And then, you know, I know there's two other seasons that I need to watch. So that's where I am.
I support HBO. I pay for HBO. I love supporting HBO because I think they do good stuff.
I get HBO
I'm
Go
all in it.
Based on my in Xfinity broadband. So I get HBO. So I'm paying for HBO. I'm going to utilize HBO. Right. I'm just saying.
Good. Then I have no problems with however it is on your hard drive.
That's what I'm saying.
I just wanted to be clear.
Why would you insinuate that I would pirate such things?
Well, there are other things that maybe happen, but whatever.
Oh, you're a pirate.
I'm not a pirate. Shit.
So here we are. This is what we're talking about. June, and we have a wonderful breakthrough on incident management happening in the world of transformation.
Mm.
Really? We are 2 days away. Don't
you're going
bang
there.
On the microphone like that.
My head
that.
Is leaning on the microphone.
We have a breakthrough. We are in fact going to be using the new and improved service desk application that everybody across the organization uses.
One front door. That's how I want to equate.
This
our,
is
our service desk.
Dion's
one
favorite
pocket.
Term.
There's one front door. No back doors.
There's right pockets. There's wrong pockets. But
the back,
as of
we don't
Friday,
talk about
there
the
will
back
only
door,
be
John.
One front door for all service desk tickets. That's huge.
It is huge. This is a big deal. This is like a step forward. Now, who thinks that this is going to be like revolutionary in the next 30 days?
For who?
Anybody.
Well,
nobody thinks it's going to be revolutionary.
I mean, we've used these tools for the last 6-7 years.
But it's not about that. It's not about the tool. It's about the fact that we have now got multiple organizations bigger, broader, beyond anything we've done before, all trying to play in the same pool. And, you know, my issue here is... thank you. We're in one place. We're still talking completely different languages. We're still dealing with, you know, I don't have any clue what you do, and you don't have any clue what I do. So it's going to be a shit show.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the whole story, right? It's, yes, all these things are good things, but how many steps do you take back before you take steps forward? And if you had just continued taking your normal steps forward.
Sure.
So, are you actually keeping pace, or are you losing ground? And I think at this point, we're still losing ground.
We are definitely still losing ground, but we're losing ground together now, Dan. That's the point.
Right. And our other big conglomerates are not necessarily. I don't know. I don't know what's happening in the...
Yeah, you can't really equate it that way. I just like the fact that we got into a phone call about this subject, and we had IBM looking at us basically going, wait, now our timetable that we all agreed on a week ago was that on Friday the 17th, 2 days from now, mm-hmm. we were going to make this transition. So yesterday, mm-hmm. Tuesday, mm-hmm. before the Friday, mm-hmm. they go, so we, you know, we had an outage.
God, we had a thing. We had
and the
to
thing
work
was hard. Weekend. And everybody worked hard. And it was a thing. And we can't really make your timing. Can we reconsider your timing because we had a thing?
We have thousands of people working, and a few of them had to work last weekend. Therefore, we have to push your shit off till next week.
And
oh, I didn't hear about that.
I didn't hear about this either.
It was, well, that's the thing. It was like, who
on
knows?
On the call.
Who knows what it was?
There can always be a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Kantar had a router that went out or something. It was, whoops, I used a name. It was something nice. That, like, literally
block yourself.
Went out and shut down the entire organization of the service desk. Nobody knew. I had no idea what they were talking about.
No idea.
No clue what went out.
I don't just randomly log into the help desk over the weekend just for fun.
But
IBM
wasn't us.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I used the thing. They're not a very.
You
big
can say IBM all you like.
They're not a very big company, and so, you know, when one of these things happens, you'll notice it.
Apparently, so they had this issue, and they wanted us to push back, and we said no, we're not going to push back. There's always going to be a thing. Guess what? We're a large organization. There's always going to be a thing. You know what? Let's just do it. Let's just go forward. And this was one case where our parent organization, our sister organization, all of the people on the call that were not IBM were in lockstep. And so say what you want to say about, you know, steps back and steps forward. This was a step forward from that perspective, where everybody on the parent company and our organization side was saying, no, IBM, no. You're wrong. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep going. You can do it. We believe in you. You have the power.
You know, it's in
there's my
it is
lining.
Important to be supportive to a child, and
it felt good. It felt momentarily good, but it's still a shit show. Do you have anything positive or more about that whole scenario?
Dion, do you have anything positive to say?
Shit in the face, guy.
So. If the guy who's been working towards a goal since last year, 9 months, feels like he's going to accomplish something in the next 14 days, suddenly feels like, oh, great, we're going to be there, and then once I cross that threshold, it's a whole new shit show that's about to happen. I don't know. Like, sure, it's the next stage, but the following stage doesn't seem any better than where I am now, so sure.
Oh, Dion, that's
I don't really know what's happening. It's really depressing.
Do you have anything positive to say was the question?
Never mind. I shouldn't have asked.
What do you mean positive?
So what else happened this week in news, in technological news? I think some stuff went down.
No stuff went down.
What?
You mean E3 and WWDC?
LinkedIn.
Wow, interesting, interesting.
Oh, I got a super downer for that story, but I don't want to bring that up.
I got a huge... Nancy negative. So,
Dion needs a hug today.
So E3...
I was super excited about that, and I posted it.
Wait.
And
we're
got
talking,
a downer.
All right, so we're talking about Microsoft and LinkedIn.
I got a LinkedIn downer.
Okay, let's go down that path, because there were three raised. Yeah, so,
sure.
Microsoft and LinkedIn. $26 billion or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Surprising, I thought.
Ridiculous number. Surprisingly large?
Surprisingly large.
Okay, good, because I'm like, that wasn't like underpaid. They definitely invested.
For a company that, you know, has pretty much had shit security policy and, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. So, there were some posts in our business about, you know, this investment, and I get that Microsoft is A, trying to get into the social sphere in a way that they haven't to this point, and B, they're looking at ways to integrate what they're doing at the business level with the kind of personal connection recruitment and all that world in the social sphere. There's logic to what they're doing, but it's still kind of a closed environment. And Microsoft hasn't proven as much as they're trying to prove that they're a services company and they are a platform to work with. They still have some work to do, in my opinion, to get there.
I've always liked, I've believed in the LinkedIn networking social media aspect of if you ever become looking for a new job or are just interested or want to continue to network with everybody you work with, I feel like LinkedIn is the place to do it. There isn't any stigma towards, hey, I did one project with you for like 1 week, but I want to be LinkedIn with you. It seems like a very great place to engage people you've worked with in any capacity, even in a one conference call, like world, you could engage somebody on LinkedIn and say, oh my God, like I totally want to be LinkedIn with you. And it's a work thing. It's a professional aspect because, you know, God forbid if at some point I do need a reference or somebody knows somebody who knew somebody, I want to be a degree away from everybody in the business world. LinkedIn is the place to do that. So I think LinkedIn is a great thing. I tell everybody I know who's about to lose their job, who's lost their job, who just wants to continue to maintain networking in a business and professional aspect, go on LinkedIn. Anytime you get like a person who you think, oh yeah, they want to LinkedIn with me, go there. You know, review the 32 other people who want to be LinkedIn with you, click them, accept it, and move forward. I think LinkedIn is a great tool. It helped me once. I think it's valuable. Microsoft buying it and integrating it is smart. The only caveat that I see
is the negative. Here's the dark cloud coming. Yes.
I mean, what else would you expect from me?
Come on, what do you got?
Nokia.
I just don't want, I want it to remain the same and not be plugged in to, oh, so here's the 1,200 people you work with that also want to be LinkedIn with you, which is all bullshit, which messes up your LinkedIn profile, or the Microsoft or the company who bought Microsoft, which is your parent company, has sold you out and all your emails are now associated with all of these, like, you know, vendors who want to link in with you, and they're all just like...
But that happens now.
Oh, and I avoid it as much as I can. As soon as I see a vampire recruiter...
Vendor scum.
Vendor scum, as we like to refer to them.
Recruiter scum.
I ignore them. And I back away from the, you know, the recruiter, the, you know, the professional.
So maybe there's a new segment here. Should we start, like, recruiter tracking scum? Recruiter scum?
Could be.
Because it sounds like there might be an opportunity. I don't think it's going to be, I get what you're saying, and could it spiral out of control and become
it could
problematic?
Could Microsoft mismanage this?
No way.
You really scare me, Dan. I really use LinkedIn. It worked for me once. I feel like it's a benefit for others.
You are the one person I know who cross-posts.
You have every account that you own linked together.
I know when to use each of my social media.
And yet he cross-posts everything. So
no, that's bullshit. If I tweet, it's LinkedIn. If I tweet, it may become Facebook. If I Facebook, it's just Facebook. So that's kind of my motto. If I tweet it, it may become a work/LinkedIn/Facebook thing. So tweeting means the entire world will see that I think this.
It's like a flowchart when you're drunk.
No. If I Facebook it, that's just friends and family. Facebook is just friends and family. If I tweet it, it could be anybody in the world, and that's where it goes.
Sure.
My tweets go to LinkedIn, and that's my avenue of, hey, world, here's what I'm thinking. Facebook is the, hey, friends and family, here's what I'm thinking. That's how I treat social media right now. I really don't get too involved in Snapchatting or Instagram
conversation this morning.
Line or any of that stuff.
Yeah, my kids are all over these other services, which was kind of my point internally, where the question of, you know, the value of this was like, well, this is really great. Good for you, Microsoft. You're embracing that world. But you really need to embrace the standards and compliance in a way, and an API in a way that is more open than you've done to date. Because my kids, you know, 20-somethings, could give two shits about LinkedIn. And they're starting in the workforce, and they really don't care. And they really don't. It's not just, yeah, I should do that. No, my business world doesn't do that. No, Dad, thanks, but I'm going to do other things because my business world doesn't do it. Now, that may be what happens, is it splits and splinters based on what you do and how you do it.
Sure.
But it's a valid point to me is, you know, MySpace wasn't going anywhere. What's MySpace? LinkedIn could become that world. Facebook could become that world. Yes, it owns a lot, and it continues to try to own everything. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, as a business, be investing in those places. But the reality is there's still a fickle user base, and youth comes in and goes, nah, that's my dad's thing. I don't care about it. Right? So it'll just be interesting to see how it happens and what is a platform. And this is what Twitter is trying to do. And they work, you know, they're flagging, but they're trying to reposition themselves as a platform more so than a product.
What I told you in how I explain things that get posted to LinkedIn, I tweet things which get reposted into LinkedIn.
Right. But Twitter is not really there yet. So you're ahead of your time again.
It's a whole 10 years ahead of my time. My whole point is Twitter seems to be a share with the world, Instagram, share with the world, and then I'm also plugging in LinkedIn for those
I was going to do this during this podcast. I'm going to, so.
Don't live do anything.
There's literally going
don't
to be.
Live stream this.
There's a Snapchat story that's going to happen
God.
Here. Oh, what?
Boy. Take John's picture for the. Your story.
Here we are.
All right.
Everybody smile.
Mm.
We are doing our podcasting.
No, Snapchat story. Right, yay.
No, go on. Keep
all
talking.
Right, just keep going.
I find the LinkedIn thing interesting in that. Oh, and this is all personal in that the former company that I left in 1999 hardly embraced Facebook when Facebook came along in what, 2006, 2008, whenever it came, started gaining steam. Nobody in my former company really joined Facebook and continues not to join Facebook, but they are on LinkedIn. And I have actually no explanation for it. They're all a bunch of older engineering types.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. It just seems odd.
Well, I know that my wife is a recruiter, and her actually last recruiting job, she had to ask the employer to stop blocking Facebook so she can actually start researching people on Facebook. But I guess I would never think of linking a Facebook or Twitter account to LinkedIn, because I think LinkedIn is more of a professional site or platform, whatever it's going to be.
Right, which is what I like. So when I tweet something, I expect the entire world to see it, like everybody.
So
every Kardashian on the planet.
And I'm not saying that you're right, John, or Dion's right. Everybody uses these things
differently
at this point in a different way, right?
Right. Yep.
So if my Facebook is my business platform because I'm running a small mom and pop shop, that this is where my website is instead of actually having my own website, then that's what it is for that place, right? And what Dion's saying is anything I tweet is kind of my brand as a business professional,
person, yeah.
personal
yeah.
person, and that's okay to be reposted to my LinkedIn network, then that's his prerogative,
mm-hmm.
right? So I am not here to judge how anything gets used or doesn't get used. I think everybody's got their own approach to it. My whole point is all of these platforms, all these products are products, and the platforms should circumvent that or supersede that at the end of the day. And you need to have an open framework that allows... And you know, my comment internally here was, I think there will be things like, you know, IFTT, where, you know, you're talking about a service that sits in between all these things. And fine, my kids want a Snapchat. Well, that's great. If I can tap into Snapchat and say, well, if somebody Snapchats over here, I want to see that over there, or I want to broadcast that in a different way. Some glue that sits a bot, the term that seems to be hot, the bot that sits around this thing that does what I want it to do when I make something happen, or when other people do certain things, that tells me or notifies me or you know, puts it up on my smart mirror, the guy who built the smart mirror, whatever it is, right? Just a way that there's an open environment that allows me to make that work for my personal sense. That's all I'm looking for. So, great. Microsoft, well done. You bought a property. What are you going to do with that property?
Are you going to mess it up?
Well, let's hope they don't mess it up. But that's my take on it. So I wanted to talk a little bit. I don't know. Do you have any more on that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys, Dion, you're our resident. You followed, I think you watched closely the WWDC.
I did.
What was announced there that's of value and interest?
Siri everywhere.
Siri forever.
I think you, the king of, I just want to search and find things in like less than 2 seconds, everywhere in my world will enjoy Siri on your computer.
Well, Siri so far has failed me miserably.
Oh,
so.
Well, you know.
How does it compare to Microsoft's Home or whatever they're calling it? Or, I'm sorry, Google's. Google's Home.
I will say, hey, Siri, on my phone has been a failure. Because every time I say, hey, Hutton, I want to do something, Siri's like, what did you say? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, I'm not even fucking talking to you. Shut up. But,
Dion, you're drunk.
Again.
If you say, like, hey, so-and-so, it automatically picks up and is like, I'm listening.
We were talking earlier. No, Siri came out, and my phone went off going, hello, what?
Mm-hmm. Talking to me?
So we'll fix that. But
The only one of these things to date that has made any sense to me is Amazon's Echo and Alexa.
I love Alexa.
So how is Siri going to trump that?
Well, they want you to say, like, hey, Siri, and whether it's your phone or your computer or your Apple TV, to pick it up and say, I've got this, and show you where you are, what you are asking for.
What if you have three devices in the same room?
Because you're an Apple freak.
Yes, because, they're out there.
But it will learn that you are looking for web, and it's on your phone, or movie because you have Apple TV right. up, or whatever because of this. So I think it'll get better, but the fact that they're starting to have a lineage of operating systems, Mac OS, iOS, tvOS, watchOS, I feel like they're going to be better integrated.
Sure.
I really did
this is the old Microsoft.
They were moving closer to
if you're in
each
the family,
closer.
If you're in the family,
yes.
you're going to get the best
yes.
experience.
Yes.
So thank
yes.
you, Apple, for replacing Microsoft in my crosshairs as, no, what I just was talking about. Don't build it as a product-specific thing.
I will,
at this stage right now, because Alexa, I think, is brilliant and Echo does what I ask her to do.
Do you have one?
Yes, I do. Every time I say anything, she responds. And she's pretty damn close to always right. Okay? So I want to say, Alexa, tell Siri to put this on my calendar so that Siri will actually write it on my calendar because I can't fucking get Siri's attention.
But
right?
Really? Because if Siri was activated as Hey Siri on your phone and you said Hey Siri, add this.
Hey Siri. Nope.
Hey Siri. I presented.
Nope.
I presented Alexa to my wife early on.
Threesome.
And she said, sweet. I don't think I'd have any interest in that. And now, 6 months later or a year
she's
later,
she's all in. Yeah.
She's all in.
Yeah.
And
my whole family walks in and goes, Alexa, play this on Spotify or whatever.
The one thing that. You know, that Google will have, and I don't follow Apple because I don't really own enough Apple to care. But the one thing that Google Home will have is the synchronized audio Sonos. I'm sorry.
Yep.
The Sonos.
Everybody can do this, by the way.
The Sonos capability that.
I'm tired of everything not being just in sync. You own Spotify, you have Apple Music, you have everything, you have all these devices, they're all Bluetooth, they can all be fucking in sync. Why do you have to own a $300 Sonos speaker in order for it to know, well, guess what, I have one source and I need to sync it between
speakers. Well, Google has solved
speakers.
That with Chromecast, but
it's close.
But they don't, I mean, Google Home isn't a product
no,
yet.
But
it's not. It's
but Bluetooth is Bluetooth. Fuck it. Bluetooth 4.0 can handle the fact that you have one source and 12 speakers. Send it to everything. My Sony TV is the easiest thing to send anything to in my entire house right now. My daughter goes on YouTube on any device I own, iPad, phone, whatever, computer, and says, oh, I recognize Share to TV and my Sony Bravia, which is 4K, automatically picks up whatever device she's on and starts streaming the YouTube video about baking or toys or whatever. And my wife, who's trying to watch a soap opera, is like, my 5-year-old daughter just took over my TV because she's streaming her fucking iPad to it. And
5-year-olds for the win.
Yeah, 5-year-olds for the win. And guess what? She's streaming whatever she wants from any device she can actually get on.
Watch it, Mom. Listen to it, Mom.
Exactly.
Deal with it, Mom.
Exactly. Deal with it. Fuck you. I'm streaming my shit right now. And she takes over our 4K TV with whatever she wants. And it works.
Yeah,
and it's brilliant. But you know what? Don't make me say I can't now send that to the other three other or four other devices that are also Bluetooth 4.0.
So is it, we're back to but like standards and platforms.
Exactly.
And so it's just fine, Siri's going to be brilliant for everybody who's got everything Apple in their house.
Eh.
And all I'm saying is we just got to plug these things together better than we do. And that's yeah. you know.
But the standard is Bluetooth. The standard is Bluetooth 4.0 or whatever the number is
or wherever we are.
Sure,
for audio quality
and whatever.
And
you know what?
But...
It all can talk to each other. You have one source. You have five outputs, three outputs, 12 outputs.
But Apple, Microsoft...
Echo and Alexa are better at listening to me and delivering than anything else
because,
out there.
Because they were... They have their incentives about... Or their biases about shopping. But Google, Microsoft, and Apple were all about the search, monetizing the search, and Amazon was more about something that actually did something functional.
Actually heard you?
And actually heard me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, great. This is the big thing out of WWDC?
Don't okay.
Really? Where's is there a new Mac Pro?
So that was the biggest...
No, the big deal is Mac OS.
No, so the biggest criticism
but
out of
no longer
was,
OS 10.
That's OS. I mean, that's
the
software.
The developers conference has always been a, we don't show you hardware, we show you the what developers want to see.
But they're a
hardware
company.
Developers want to see the improvements in iOS, Mac OS, TV OS, Watch OS, all that stuff, right? So developers get first choice at seeing the software, integrating with it, and building software so that this fall, all the new shit that they decide to introduce, like watches and iPhones and computers and whatever, can run all this developer shit.
Did their stock price go up or down?
I didn't even pay attention.
Everything's been going down now. So
I'm pretty sure it stayed even or lower. Just the market's not happy.
It's a good question.
The good thing about what I heard, which I think they're just listening to people who use Apple products, and Apple people say,
oof,
hey, why don't
ugly.
You do this? And they say, oh, yeah, why don't we do that? That totally makes sense. And that's fine, but that's not groundbreaking. Like,
ouch.
You're not introducing something that I never thought of before.
It's not pretty.
Right.
It's not pretty since 6 months ago when they were at 103.
So. Mm-hmm, right. So, you know, and everybody needs to be aware that Apple's not going to, like, jump until they have hardware that is new, that everybody says, holy shit, I got to dump what I got and get that. And that's when Apple prices go through the roof.
But
otherwise,
What would have to change? Because I don't know. My MacBook Pro is fast enough. I don't have an iPhone.
I'm an Android guy, but I told this to Steve a few months ago, and the rest of the team. You know, it's basically like, listen to this. If the computer you're running on actually lasted more than 3 years, and you're still happy with what you have, which most of our team is. We don't need groundbreaking technology. It's you know, decent video card, decent memory, decent CPU.
Like
we're all basically like, our computers do what they need to do. We're like completely happy.
John, didn't you talk to him about this?
Maybe my battery could be a little better, but like otherwise everybody's happy with machines, right? But we're due for a refresh. We got to get the stuff. We need this and that. We get newer machines. They are better. They're okay. But what I'm telling you is...
But they're not earth-shattering.
Apple's built such good hardware, you don't need to get new fucking bullshit hardware every year.
Right. So my Camaro is good enough. My 1978 Camaro is good enough. And I don't need to buy a new one.
If you spend and invest the money in a Mac, laptop, or desktop, and it lasts you more than 3 years, you've gotten your money's worth, and it's exactly what Apple always intended.
That's not what Apple intends.
Apple intends for you, at the end of that 3 years, to say, you know what? I cannot use this thing that's 3 years old, and I need to get a new one. Every 3 years, you need to completely throw everything you own in the garbage and get something new.
GM is going to make rust buckets that will rust out before the engine, and you're going to need to buy a new one. Apple has to do the same thing.
Ford's not doing that, by obsolescence. The way. Not to throw any shine on.
Fine, Ford, too. And Toyota and Datsun. I don't care. It's... They all have to do this.
I honestly believe.
I took us down a really horrible path.
Here, and in my heart, I honestly believe if you buy an Apple, you're going to get the best money's worth out of that over the next whatever you feel your period of refresh is.
So, do you guys remember? I'm going to turn a corner here. Do you guys remember those of you that worked back in the old building when we were up on Michigan Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Woo! Mm-hmm. So everybody in this room remembers those days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the... I can't remember what it was. Was it the... it wasn't the Rusty Mexican place that we went to, but around the corner there Jay's? Was a... there was a. It might have been Jay's. Do you remember the
Sit down, Jay's.
The fly strip?
Yeah.
That was over the grill?
Mr. Jay's. Mr. Jay's.
There was a sandwich place or whatever. Do you remember this?
Mr. Yes. Jay's, yeah.
So it was a fly strip literally over the grill that was like caked with flies
dead
and
flies.
Bugs and all this shit on it, right? And all of us were like, ugh, like right over this thing. And there was this whole battle with yourself mentally over, well, it's okay because they're all on the fly strip and they're not on the food. So that makes it okay, right? But it's right there. And
Bubba, and the guy has a lot of hair, and he's sweating.
You're equating the technology of Apple
I'm
grill.
Trying to get away from the fucking conversation, okay?
We've moved on, Dion.
Why am I asking this question? Have you seen... There was the video, and I don't know how old it is, but I just saw this video of a human sticky trap. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
No.
You saw this?
Yep.
So
the
this
human
company,
fly trap in Japan.
This company
it's
makes
always Japan,
these
by
things.
The way. It's
and
always
it was
Japan.
It was a promotional video.
Always.
The attempt was to show just how good their stuff is.
The fly trap.
And they built a man-sized fly trap.
Yeah.
And they took a scientist.
Yep.
And a sprinter.
Yep.
And a sumo wrestler.
Oh, the sumo wrestler was hilarious.
And basically went, look, we're going to test our traps against these people.
How far can each of these specialists get?
It's
the smartest guy, the fastest video. Guy, the strongest guy. How far can you get?
You should totally look this up. If you haven't seen it.
It's disgusting, and it makes you feel like, oh, my God.
It's hilarious. Well, it's absolutely, because they're, like, coming out of their shoes and clothes, and ultimately, I guess
their face is stuck to the mat.
They had
it's
to like
just,
cut their clothes
I mean,
off.
That stuff is pretty sticky.
It's
have you ever dealt with it?
Oh yeah.
Like I don't want to offend anyone here, but have you ever dealt with the like the mouse trap sticky pads?
No, but I got a story about that too.
Yeah. So you know how there's traditional mouse traps where they snap and whatever. So there's actual mouse traps.
They kill the mice or the rats.
Instantly, yes.
And these things don't.
Are sticky pads. And the mice
they
will
get
walk
stuck
across
and they
and
starve.
Stuck.
Yeah.
And one time I lived in the city of Chicago here, and we had a mouse infestation.
Uh-huh.
And we turned to these sticky pads.
Stop eating if you're listening to the Borowide as it goes.
And nobody's eating. So... We literally, one time we caught a mouse on one of these things. We took it outside and tried to pry it off the sticky pad.
Nope.
And we flicked it off and we looked down and there's just 4 feet still sucked to the sticky pad.
Yep.
It's pretty.
You
good.
Flicked it off.
Yeah.
You murdered a mouse.
So you ripped his legs off. Was yep. he? And
we
he
didn't
was
try
still
to.
Alive.
We tried to let him go outside.
And he was still alive.
Not sure. He flew off.
He walked off on his stubs.
Yeah.
So my story is a friend who did Mutant the same mouse. Thing, who got it caught. And they were like, they were trying to, same routine. They were trying to be somewhat humane. By
exactly.
This,
let's try to release him outside.
They caught the thing. And then they were like, what do we do with this? Now we got this live mouse.
On a sticky pad.
On a sticky pad. What do we do with the thing? And brilliantly, they come up with the idea of, well, we'll put it in this paper bag, and we'll put it behind the car wheel and we'll back the car. Like, just get the freaking snap trap and call it a day.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, God.
No, thank you.
So I encourage everyone to look up this video.
Okay, next.
Human sticky traps.
I don't see how this has anything to do with Apple.
I had to get off the topic. I just yes?
The human sticky trap was very funny. So it's a relatively new video.
Is it new?
Yeah, it's pretty.
I wasn't sure how new it was.
It's pretty new. Go find it. It's pretty funny. I enjoy it. I enjoyed it.
It's worth a look up. Yes.
I mean, the other Apple things that came about were pretty good. I was
gone. I was over
it. We're over Apple, so I'm next. So.
What else you got? You got something else worth talking about?
I guess this is pretty, I think the profound thing is that I think I was just marginally aware that there was a WWDC going on, and I heard nothing until now about it. So for whatever that's worth, I'm not an Apple guy, so fair enough.
No, you're not following it, and E3, you brought up E3, like my
the new, you know, the weird thing about Microsoft and E3 is like you. I didn't expect them to say, hey, Scorpio is a whole new Xbox platform that's going to replace what you know, and it's going to be smaller and better and faster and this and that. And I'm like, oh my God, Xbox One's already fucking legacy.
Yep.
It's already legacy. And it's a couple of years old, and they're going to destroy it. And it may take a year before we actually see something, but that's pretty good. Like, that impressed me. Microsoft has impressed me a few times over the past 2 years with a bunch of their announcements, whether they've been business or gaming or personal related. And I've been saying, you know, it's
but that,
not
but that
bad.
Whole Xbox One thing pisses me off because...
It pisses me off, too, because I own an Xbox One.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say I don't own two Xbox Ones.
Yeah. So you're happy to see it before you got
to
that
level.
I own
two original Xbox machines. One Xbox One, and in the future, you know, if this... So here's the thing. Here's what I told Tara. I'm like, so according to this announcement, the new Xbox S, whatever this thing's called, is a 4K Blu-ray, X gigaflop, whatever the fuck they call it, you know, game machine. We almost bought a 4K Blu-ray player. So, and that was going to cost $400. This thing costs $300. So, at the end of the day, it's cheaper to just buy this new Xbox than to try to buy a 4K player anything. And she's like, oh, I'm so glad we waited to spend $300 on some bullshit that'll be obsolete in like 2 years. And I'm like,
yes, you're my wife. You are.
Yes, you're my wife. And you understand me. Thank you. So, I mean, but that
so you just bought the Xbox One, right, John?
We did.
Yeah, no, a year ago. A while ago.
It's crap.
We have five games. We just got a new game this week. So.
Well, you should get a new one because that machine's dead. Just you're might as well throw
dicks.
It out.
You're all dicks.
I'll tell my son tonight. When
you're all dicks. You're all dicks.
I have an Xbox 360, so it's better than one or two or three.
But it's not 365.
And it sounds like a large drone is taking off in my house.
When's the last time you turned that thing on?
About a year.
Yeah, exactly. So you had a drone taking off in your house a year ago.
There are 800 games that we have for the original Xbox.
You personally have 800 games?
Maybe 1,000.
You personally have 1,000 games.
Xbox One?
Yeah. Remember?
Xbox One.
Xbox Original?
Yes.
Originals.
Yes. Remember what we all did to our original Xboxes in order to play whatever game we wanted
but those
to?
Don't play
I did that
Xbox
to do
One.
Xbox Media Center. Yes.
So I have 800 to almost 1,000 games for the original Xbox.
I
burned and ready to play. And I have some friends / family who are like, oh my god, I had no idea that there was a Marvel versus Capcom version of Street Fighter. And I'm like, well, yeah, just come over and let's play it. Because I have every game that ever came out for the original Xbox for like 7 years. This is, and they're just like, what, that even ever existed? And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, it's going to be, you know, like 480p quality and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
We don't give a fuck what quality resolution. Fuck you and your resolution. We just want to play. We want Captain America to beat the shit out of Ryu. That's perfect. And I'm like, well, okay, why don't I just loan you my disc and my gaming system? Because that sounds like what you would want to do. So.
Wow. I that's scary that there are people like that that wanted. I'm probably alone in this world, but it's like, really?
I did sell my Nintendo Entertainment Center system to Gavin.
Oh, good.
$400.
Yep.
$400.
$100.
Destroyed. $100.
Oh, okay.
$100.
Okay.
$100.
For $100. He now has a Nintendo 64 with original.
The original Nintendo.
Nintendo with Classic.
The gun.
2600 or whatever it was?
No, no,
9600?
No. 64.
64?
Nintendo 64 with Duck Hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gray gun.
Gray gun. Yeah.
Duck Hunt. That's a good edition.
Which is a big deal, apparently.
Yeah. Gray gun, Duck Hunt means this gun was gray, and somebody may have accidentally
for 1 week, I'm
distracted
sure.
by it. And thought it was real because it wasn't orange.
So what you're saying is we got no productivity out of Gavin for a week because he was spending all of his time playing this game.
This was 2 years ago.
It was a long time ago, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved way beyond this.
Fair enough. Well, I think the new Xbox is a brilliant step forward for those of you that need a Blu-ray player. I'm right. Sure the games will be amazing when they catch up with
I'm
that.
I'm glad that Microsoft and Sony have finally reconciled over DVD, whatever it was called.
Yeah. Microsoft lost.
Yeah.
Reconciled or Microsoft lost. One
Microsoft
two.
Acknowledges they lost.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
They've moved on, which is good. So, vendor scum. Do you have a vendor scum?
I didn't have any
really?
This week because of our new spamming
no.
software, but
really?
I heard we have a couple.
Well, I
heard we had a phone in from Down Under.
We did. We had. I've got to pull that one up. But before, as I work on pulling that one up, I desperately wanted to find the one that I got, which cracked me up, not because it was like the content was that funny. What was funny about the one that I got was this is an email that I've been getting for weeks, and it must have been 10 or so messages, and they were all from this lovely woman named Felicia or whatever her name was. I don't think it was Felicia, but some woman's name, and you know, it was a testing organization. So they wanted to do our automated testing for our software, and it was just brilliant. And I was thrilled to get this email and not reply to it and throw it away all the time. And then the last one came, and I thought it was awesome because it was from Felicia, and it was the same email with a different header that said, I just following up on my original request, and then the same email. And then at the bottom this time it said, still waiting for your reply, James. I was like, you couldn't keep up the ruse that you were some hot woman all the way through?
Felicia.
Yeah, Felicia, what have you done to me? You're James all this time? You know, I was, oh.
Apparently you don't take anything from a woman seriously.
So, but it should have come from James somewhere along the line, right? Going, I'm James, and Felicia's been trying to get in touch with you.
I'm Felicia's.
No, it was just the signature.
Let me mansplain this to
you. It was just the signature that changed. I thought it was
so I do have a few candidates for our phone-in vendor.
Oh, you've got good.
If we ever want to do that.
Good deal. Well, I am pulling here is the listener supplied vendor scum. If I'm able to read this. It's very small in my email. Where is it? Here it is. So this was from a good friend, a new approach, he says, gambling to get a meeting, and we are both Lebanese. So, I'm sure you're tired of sales folks like me reaching out with the same overplayed pitch, so I was hoping to mix it up and have a little bit of fun. Not sure how big a golf fan you are, but one of the major tournaments, the U.S. Open, is being played this Thursday through Sunday, so I wanted to propose a friendly wager. There are a number of Australian golfers competing. The best, Jason Day. How about this? Jordan Spieth is the top-ranked American in the field. If Jason Day finishes better than Jordan Spieth, we send you some golf Fuse memorabilia. This is the vendor, Fuse. Where did it go? If Spieth is able to finish better, you entertain an informal 20-minute chat to learn about a little about what we do and how we can help your organization streamline communications. I hope this is something you'll be willing to entertain, blah, blah, blah. They're trying to gamble their way into
that
this guy's
office. That is interesting,
though.
I like that.
You like that? You like the approach?
Yeah.
Not so much vendor scum, but vendor class? I don't know about that.
I'm not sure about class, but it's creativity.
It is creative. It is creative. And the reason he said that we're both Lebanese is he sees, you know, somewhere that this guy speaks Arabic, and hey, I'm from Lebanon, you from Lebanon, and that whole connection is going on. So I think there's a personal connection there, and they're trying something interesting, but still vendor scum in my book.
I agree, but still creative.
But I want swag. Whatever it may be.
You want swag from the U.S. Open?
I want some golf balls.
Whatever it may be. You know, whatever, you know.
Or Fuse or whatever it is.
From Fuse, yeah.
If they can support the World YIT guys golf outing this year.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, that's great.
Fuse could sponsor us. Hey, if all you Fuse listeners out there, we're willing to listen. Give us a call. Let us know. Tweet us. So that's vendor scum. Do you have
maybe any? We can shoot craps together.
We got some boats we can take you to around here. On a promotional front, those of you that have been waiting for shirts, yours is in the mail.
Oh, nice.
Or on the verge of being in the mail. Uh-huh. Those of you that are interested in shirts, let us know. Tweet us at WWIT guys and let us know you're interested in a t-shirt, hashtag t-shirt, and we will be sure to contact you and figure out how to get you one and all that fun stuff. So we have shirts for order for those of you that care. So I'm pretty close to, oh, I was going to raise with this group. You probably haven't figured this out, or maybe I did raise it with you once before. So I recently read an article that is encouraging me to take my little personal experimentation to the next level.
Okay.
I stopped using shampoo
like
8 months ago. Nobody's noticed this. I'm about 8 months in to not using shampoo at all. And I'm on the verge of giving up soap. So all of you that sit with me in an office.
Well, you have your own office, though.
Yes, but we sit in here a lot.
So what's behind this? Was it an article or what that made you give up shampoo?
The shampoo give up was definitely sort of reading that I was doing. And I was being a bit frugal. And I said, well, I could give up soap. Because I use shampoo, and that's on my head, and then it washes my body, and I'm good to go, right? And then I started reading stuff, and people were like, you don't need shampoo. Let your hair work out its pH and its oil levels. You'll go through a couple of weeks, and then you'll be fine. And nobody said a word around here, but I did it. Don't use any shampoo. Gave it up. Done with shampoo. Now I've read an article that's talking about literally cleaning yourself with soaps and chemicals and all this stuff, and how we have whacked out our body chemistry as a result. And I'll post it again with
the article. I just let my cat lick me all over.
Yeah.
No.
But that's what you do on your personal time, Dan. No. That's fine.
Yeah. I use baby wipes. That's it.
But it's an interesting, so I'll post it and you guys can have a look at it. But this guy kind of went through a 30-day challenge. I'm going to experiment with this. And he was like, yeah. And I guess there's a company that sells these microbes that you can spray on yourself that have the bacteria that keep everything in order. And this is what we had as like natural humans back in the day. And it takes a while to get there naturally, but they sell stuff that you can spray that helps generate that and start that. And he interviews a woman who went through the process spraying herself and encouraging these microbes and these bacteria that are healthy that effectively live with you. And she referred to them as, you know, and I've got this wonderful healthy colony of this bacteria all over me.
Yeah, right.
Reminds me of elephants. Do you know how elephants digest their food? They're unable to.
One bite at a time?
Well, no. They're unable to digest their foods as a newborn, but they've learned that they have to eat their parents' poop to get the bacteria and organisms in their stomachs so they can live their lives.
Interesting.
So it's almost like you're spraying.
Well, I'm not going to spray myself, okay? Let's be clear. If right. I go, I'm going to go all natural.
All right.
And you guys will tell me just how natural I've gone.
Well, I recently got a message from my father-in-law who does WebMD or whatever, and it was more along the lines of how much water you would save.
Well, this guy talked about, like, over your lifetime, you spend 2 years...
Right.
Showering.
That's what this says.
2 years.
Wow.
Cleaning yourself. Wow. Over your lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things he talked about was, it's brilliant. You know, I get up in the morning. Yeah. If I wake up and I got bedhead, I stick my head under. I don't get in the shower. I stick my head under. I turn on the shower. I wet it down. I turn it off. And I'm on my way.
Yeah.
That's kind of his routine now.
Wow.
And it saved him time, and it saves water, and it saves energy, and it saves...
But what if you shower with your significant other?
Well, but that's recreational. That's not totally different.
No, you're saving water in here.
Oh, boy.
It's a different class.
I do encourage that. So just if you start to smell me around the office, you'll know why.
We'll let you know.
Will you let me know?
It's a good bacteria.
But honestly, 8 months.
It's
good
bacteria.
Does anybody, like, other than the fact that I let my hair grow too long every once in a while, does anybody go, God, you look really disgusting because you haven't been shampooing your hair? I clean my hair.
To be honest here, I'm not sure.
Go on.
Well, we go on stretches. We don't see you for weeks at a time.
And so you just assume I'm showering then.
Or maybe you spend a lot of time in New York. It looks horrible.
When I come back from New York, you're like, oh my God.
But I mean, on another side note, there are certain running clothes that I wear that are made of merino wool, and that material supposedly is stink proof. You cannot get it to smell. So you can actually, I know people have done competitions how long they can wear their merino wool shirts and not wash them before they start to smell.
And
what's the result?
I don't know. I wasn't a part of the competition.
So, but you have this stuff. Have you gone for periods of time without cleaning it?
Yes. So I've in my later years in life, I've started to switch to all wool clothing for workouts.
And?
I think it's, I mean, I work out.
It's going well.
Sometimes I work out here at lunch.
Uh-huh.
And I try to get back and
But I you baby wipe it. You
I baby wipe and deodorant, and I use wear all wool usually when I'm here.
Well, look up this, like when I post this, have a look, and I'd be interested because that was one thing I was like.
Right.
If you worked out, like, that's nasty. You're going to be nasty right. pretty yeah. quick, right? So they talk about it, but only very briefly. And this guy clearly is not like a workout dude, and the woman that he talks to, I don't, you know, she might do something, but I just don't see her
Does
that way.
Does she shave her armpits?
We didn't get into that.
Sure.
But it's funny because my wife, I shared with my family, and they were all like, "A, you know that like our 11-year-old." Reads this because it was a family post, right? It was a group thing that we, you know, that our 11-year-old's watching this. B, I've been to Europe and no, they stink. And I go, no, this isn't about deodorant. Now it is. If you watch it and see it, you'll read it. You will see that. But it's more about the showering. And
right.
And there is the point is if you don't shower constantly, or if you stop showering, your body develops effectively a balance to it that keeps you consistent, which is the same thing that I heard about and read and went through with my hair, where I was pretty greasy for a week and a half or 2 weeks, and then it started to even out, and I was fine. So I'm tempted. I might take the challenge. I might wait until the fall, but I might take the challenge. So keep your eye out for that. Nobody want to jump in on that?
You're all done digging the septic tank and all that?
I'm sorry, what about the...
You're all done digging the septic tank and all that other good stuff?
Digging the septic tank?
In Indiana.
No, my septic is, well, that, you know, we still treat it gently. Let's just put it that way. We're cautious with our septic.
Okay.
We have rules.
We know the rules.
Look, if you take a shit in the toilet, flush, all right? That's all you have to know. Beyond that, you might want to let it sit for a while. Dion's going to sleep, so...
I'm just...
Dion's behind words. I can't believe my Apple... discussion got bumped for this.
Exactly. Got trumped for this.
Oh.
Speaking of Trump.
No. Oh, man. I think next week should be the discussion about politics.
Next week, we'll talk about politics.
We'll save it for next week.
There's been some shit going on in our country, and it may or may not come up.
We don't want to get into that now.
November, we'll be broadcasting from Canada.
I will just say thank you all for listening. We have been the Worldwide IT Guys, and we are at www.itguys.com. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
See you.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, Dion. I look over, and you're literally sleeping.
I got up at 3 o'clock this morning. I couldn't sleep.
Our listeners were all literally sleeping.
I went to bed at 9:30 last night. I got up. The thunderstorms kind of woke me up.
Yeah.
They were bad.
Yeah.
They were bad.
Good storm, though. Good rain last night.